hat, and plantain leaves for a saddle. At the distance of 2 leagues we came in sight of the volcano, and at 4 o'clock, after a hot ride, entered the town, one of the oldest and largest in Nicaragua, and though completely inland, containing with its suburbs a population of 20,000. We rode to the house of Don Sabino Satrun, who lay with his mouth open, snoring in a hammock, but his wife, a pretty young half-blood, received me cordially and with a proper regard for the infirmities of an old husband and for me, did not wake him up. All at once he shut his mouth and opened his eyes and gave me a cordial welcome. Don Sabino was a Colombian who had been banished for 10 years, as he said, for services rendered his country, and having found his way to Masaya, had married the pretty young half-breed and set up as a doctor. Inside the door, behind a little stock of sugar, rice, sausages, and chocolate, was a formidable array of jars and bottles, exhibiting as many colors and as puzzling labels as an apothecary's shop at home. I had time to take a short walk around the town, and turning down the road at the distance of 1/2 mile, came to the brink of a precipice more than 100 feet high, at the foot of which, and a short distance beyond, was the lake of Masaya. The descent was almost perpendicular, in one place by a rough ladder, and then by steps cut in the rock. I was obliged to stop while 15 or 20 women, most of them young girls, passed. Their water jars were made of the shell of a large gourd, round, with fanciful figures scratched on them, and painted or glazed, supported on the back by a strap across the forehead, and secured by fine network. Below, they were chattering gaily, but by the time they reached the place where I stood, they were silent, their movements very slow, their breathing hard, and faces covered with profuse perspiration. This was a great part of the daily labor of the women of the place, and in this way they procured enough for domestic use. But every horse, mule, or cow was obliged to go by a circuitous route of more than a league for water. Why a large town has grown up and been continued so far from this element of life, I do not know. The Spaniards found it a large Indian village, and as they immediately made the owners of the soil their drawers of water, they did not feel the burden, nor do their descendants now. In the meantime, my guide arrived, who, to my great satisfaction, was no less a personage than the alcalde himself. The arrangements were soon made, and I was to join him the next morning at his house in Nindiri. I gave my mules and Nicholas's a day's rest, and started on Don Sabino's horse, with a boy to act as guide and to carry a pair of alforgas with provisions. In 1/2 hour I reached Nindiri, having met more people than on my whole road from San Jose to Nicaragua. The alcalde was ready, and in company with an assistant who carried a pair of alforgas with provisions and a calabash of water, all mounted, we set out. At the distance of 1/2 a league we left the main road and turned off on a small path in the woods on the left. We emerged from this into an open field covered with lava, extending to the base of the volcano in front, and on each side, as far as I could see, black, several feet deep, and in some places lying in high ridges. A faint track was beaten by cattle over this plain of lava. In front were 2 volcanoes, from both of which streams of lava had run down the sides into the plain. That directly in front, my guide said, was the volcano of Masaya. In that on the right, and furthest from us, the crater was broken, and the great chasm inside was visible. This, he said, was called Ventero, a name I never heard before, and that it was inaccessible. Riding toward that in front, and crossing the field of lava, we reached